clear enough. All people know that it's a complot. That's why they forget about that one and just focus on this show trial, I would say, to try to eliminate President Ousmane Sonko. But for the first one, we know that it was a complot, and all the testimonials, all the showing audio, video, all the proof show that it is a complot, and we can identify one by one all the people involved in this complot. And they know President Ousmane Sonko himself has put in the table 3 to 4 complaints just to clarify everything, and also to put a sentence for all people who participated in this complot, which cost us at least 13 victims.
El Malik Ndiaye is the National Secretary in charge of communication for the opposition African Patriots of Senegal for Work, Ethics and Fraternity. He spoke with me from the capital, Dakar.
Would you like to be famous? Calling us on WhatsApp may gain you fame if we play your message on the radio. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. Here's that number again. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
In Nigeria, the Department of State Services has identified individuals who it says are planning to install an interim government. The move, the security organization warns, will thwart the outcome of the February 25th general election. The Independent National Electoral Commission, or INEC, declared former Lagos State Governor and presidential candidate of the ruling All Progressive Congress, or APC, winner. He defeated former Vice President Atiku Abubakar of the main opposition People's Democratic Party, or PDP, and former Anambra State Governor Peter Obi of the Labour Party. The two losing candidates are challenging the outcome of the election in court, citing voter irregularities and rigging. Analysts say the disputed outcome appears to have fueled rumors of an interim government. They also say the report of the Department of State Services confirming an alleged plot for an interim administration could increase tension. For analysis on the latest political and security developments in Nigeria, I reach Leonard Anyongo. He is an Abuja-based lawyer and political analyst.
If you look at the presidential result as it is, it's only 8 million of Nigerians that voted for the president-elect. The other 13 or 14 million voted against him. What I mean is that both the Labour Party and the PDP have about 13 million votes, as against the 8 million winning margin. And this election has been disputed even at the tribunal, election court. So there have been very major setbacks, because the credibility of the election is being questioned, even at the state level. And the mood of the country is a little bit tense now. DSS is Nigerian secret police. You know, so they have all the information that we ordinary Nigerians don't have.
Leonard, some people are suggesting that the report by the DSS sharply increases the tense situation at the moment. Is this what you see and hear on the ground?
Yes, that is true. That is true. That is the those are, you know what to say, you call that, you say the street talk. You know, there have been fear whether this democracy will actually survive after 29th May. You know, the Nigerian Constitution does not contemplate anything interim government. You know, the Nigerian Constitution 1, sub 1, sub 3 talks about the supremacy of the Constitution and that the Nigerian government will be run according to the dictate of the Nigerian Constitution. But we've seen cases, of course, the last time we had something like interim national government was in 1993, but that was during the military regime of General Babangida. When he was leaving office, he handed over to the late Shonekan as an interim government because then a general election was annulled. So a lot of people are believing that a similar scenario is playing out. But then the 1993, it was the military regime, but now it's a democracy that is governed by a constitution. But so many people on the street feel that what they voted for is not the outcome, but it's been disputed. But if you look at it critically, I think the opposition divided their vote. Otherwise, if the opposition parties were in one ballot, very, very sure the ruling party would not have a seat. the mood of the country is tense. And then, of course, the DSS has come out to confirm that there has been plots to install an interim national government.
The spokesman for the DSS, Dr. Peter Afunanya, in a statement said the agency had identified some key players in the plot. The statement did not give the names of the masterminds, but the question a lot of Nigerians that I've spoken with are asking is, if you know the people who are masterminds of this plot, why not arrest them?
That is very, very intriguing. Globally, we've seen where suspects have been arrested and before they address the press. But unfortunately, we do a lot of media trial in Nigeria. You know, so we are putting the horse before the cart, so to say. But I may be wrong, but I think that there are some caliber of persons in Nigeria that if they are arrested or invited, it might further stoke the tension. But nobody is above the law by the Nigerian Constitution. So, but there are some arrests you make now that will be seen to be politically motivated. You know. So, but I think that the DSS maybe wants to play on the same side. That it's okay, we know your plot. Stop their plot and don't do that. And don't continue to do the illegality. I think it's more like a deterrent, an advanced deterrent, rather than taking proactive action that they are, that the law empowered DSS to do. So, but I think they are trying to play safe at the moment. But the situation on the ground, that there's tension in the land. But you know that where there's political instability, development don't thrive. And the president-elect has hinted that he's going to have a government of national unity. What that entails normally is that he's going to extend his hands of fellowship to the opposition to form a government. But I don't know whether you're going to see that through. But just like I said, the major political parties are in court already. I can confirm that the petitions have been filed. Even at the state level, there's have been disputed results. My problem is, once an election umpire like INEC in Nigeria is being challenged, the credibility of any election, once the credibility of any election is being challenged, then well, the issue of legitimacy of any government thereafter is always being challenged, and that's the danger. And that's why this international government report shouldn't be taken lightly. I think Nigerians might have to come on the round table to face reality and take a decision one way or the other.
Leonard Anyogo is an Abuja-based lawyer and political analyst. He spoke with me from the Nigerian capital, Abuja. Are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, hundreds of merchants gathered Friday in Chi-Osi, a Cameroonian town on the border with Gabon and Equatorial Guinea, to protest travel restrictions imposed since an outbreak of the deadly Marburg virus. They say the restrictions are suffocating trade and violate a Central African Regional Agreement on the free movement of people and goods. For VOA, Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
Hundreds of merchants say they kept their businesses closed for several hours on Friday in Kiosi, a commercial town on Cameroon's southern border with Gabon and Equatorial Guinea. The merchants say business has nosedived since Cameroon and Gabon stepped up border security after neighboring Equatorial Guinea reported an outbreak of Marburg virus on its territory. Cameroonian merchant Kema Godlove imports vegetable oil, skin moisturizers and perfumes from Equatorial Guinea and exports cement and tiles to Equatorial Guinea and Gabon. Kema says within the past 10 days, merchants have found it difficult to cross the borders between the three countries.
Business people who leave Cameroon to meet their partners coming from Equatorial Guinea or from Gabon, they will definitely not come. So it affects the economic activities of QC. Actually, when borders are locked up, people relocate to different areas while waiting for the borders to be reopened. Because when the borders are not open, businesses, everything is almost paralyzed.
Kemal spoke on Cameroon state broadcaster CRTV on Friday. He said some merchants have either sold their goods at giveaway prices or distributed perishable food items like fruits and vegetables so they don't go to waste. Kema said it would be better for governments of the three border states to keep the borders open for merchants and restrict only mass movements of people. The merchants say by restricting the movements of people, Cameroon, Gabon and Equatorial Guinea are disrespecting a regional agreement among countries of the Central African Economic and Monetary Community, CEMAC. Under normal circumstances, several hundred merchants cross borders to Gabon, Equatorial Guinea and Cameroon each day to do business. Cameroon and Gabon stepped up border security on February 13 after Equatorial Guinea confirmed an outbreak of the Marburg virus. Last week, authorities in Equatorial Guinea reported that Marburg had killed 9 people. The World Health Organization said the death toll may be as high as 20. Manaudah Malachi, Cameroon's Minister of Public Health, says that for now, travel restrictions will be maintained. Manaudah says although Cameroon and Gabon have not confirmed cases since neighboring Equatorial Guinea reported a Marburg spread, the three states decided to strictly control movements across their common borders because the virus is extremely dangerous and highly contagious. He says it is the duty of all states to protect citizens from diseases and hardship. The Cameroon government says merchants should present themselves to border surveillance teams of health workers and police to facilitate the movement of goods. On February 15, Cameroonian authorities said 2 cases of Marburg disease were detected on its southern border with Equatorial Guinea. Cameroon says it has been struggling to contain a cholera and yellow fever outbreak and COVID-19 and will do everything possible to protect its territory from Marburg. The highly infectious disease is similar to Ebola, with symptoms including fever, muscle pains, diarrhea, vomiting, and in some cases, death through extreme blood loss, according to the World Health Organization. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Oscar Pistorius will remain behind bars, the South African parole board decided Friday after the double amputee athlete applied for early release. For VOA, Kate Bartlett reports from Johannesburg, South Africa.
The board said it denied the parole request because Pistorius, once dubbed the Blade Runner for his high-tech prosthetics, was not yet eligible and hadn't reached the minimum detention period required. Pistorius, 36, was sentenced to 13 years in prison for the murder of his model girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, on Valentine's Day, 2013. He said he believed there was an intruder in the house, saying that is why he shot 3 times through the bathroom door, killing Steenkamp. The Paralympic gold medalist, who also ran in the 2012 London Olympics, has always maintained his story, despite the verdict finding him guilty of murder. Ahead of the parole hearing in Pretoria, the victim's mother, June Steenkamp, told media she didn't believe Pistorius was remorseful or rehabilitated. The Steenkamp's lawyer, Tanya Cohen, spoke to VOA about the family's reaction to the parole board's decision.
While they welcome today's decision, it's not a celebration for them because they still miss Reva every day, but they are pleased that justice has prevailed.
The board said Pistorius could apply for parole again in August of next year. Pistorius's lawyer, Julian Knight, told local media he would be taking this decision on review. Kate Bartlett for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Stay engaged with VOA Africa. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, comments, or greetings. Dial the international code +1 then 202-258-3076. The number again is the international code +1 then 202-258-3076.
Talks in Sudan aimed at reaching a final agreement to name a civilian government next month and launch a new transition to elections have hit a roadblock. Military and political sources tell Reuters that disagreements have emerged over a timeline for the integration of the powerful paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, into the military. Reuters says army, police, and intelligence withdrew from the talks, which concluded Wednesday without issuing any recommendations. Reuters say the military prefers a 2-year timeline for integration. International facilitators have suggested 5 years, while the RSF prefers 10 years. Both forces say they are waiting for the results of a technical committee discussing details on integration. A civilian government is due to be named on April 11. Right now, it's time for music from our African collection.
Nice to meet you. Like I'm on, I'm sick. mañana gali kotimo marame. Give me the one, my love. Diamond wake mori. Chineli ne wake kori. Only the gali tinti si. Kimbo lake kori. Your ex-man like an enemy, funny enough as you do. Mong am kele kuchi masen kube. I'm different thing funny kube. Yasa song song, marang nan daba. I can put you on, wanna go nala. Sengela ne mo, the man just lying on it. Sige na feshe, sige ma de malala. Baby, want me. Masela na mo, no ma ken wa next day. Better tell him it's more than love, this time I see. When I wake, come on, never look me. I shall never stop it, don't take it. Cause you know I want you when you talk to me, baby, baby. If I be sugar, just in time, you do well. And I know about bad, yeah, is it there? Oh, is it well, you know, who is it there?
Music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mike Hovey, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, a tree is bent when it is still wet. I'm your host, Peter Clotin, Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.